From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 13th day of October 2017. I'm Todd Gleason. It's a big day here on campus, celebrating 150 years of the University of Illinois and looking forward into the future, kicking off a brand new celebration campaign. We'll learn all the details tonight at 7 o'clock on what that campaign might entail, but I'll tell you a little bit about what's happening in the College of Agricultural Consumer and Environmental Sciences in the kickoff event that we'll have at 3 o'clock today at the Arboretum. We'll also take a look today at the weather forecast as it relates, of course, to farm country. Eric Snodgrass will be here, and Mike Zuzulo will be along, too, to discuss yesterday's USDA reports, the impact it continues to have on the soybean market as we make our way through this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, this is the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media for this Friday afternoon, the 13th day of October. Good afternoon to you, Mike Zuzulo.
Great to be with you, Todd. Happy Friday. And it is a happy Friday. We had a good close to the market week, didn't we?
No, we did. Actually, USDA's reports came out yesterday. The bean market popped up and there was follow through today. I guess I was wondering whether that would be the case or not. But there must be some good reasons behind it. Do you have some thoughts?
I think just the basic element that initiated yesterday's reaction to the report was, and why we got a better close yesterday to kind of lay the groundwork for today, was that I believe many in the grain trade really anticipated that we would have another supply building crop report this month. And because we had a bullish grain stocks report, that we would come in with bigger supplies in October supply demand, whether it be through harvested acres or yield increases. And the trade just didn't get that. And in fact, got quite the opposite when it came to the bean yields, Todd, and they got quite the opposite when it came to the world ending stocks for corn. We did get what we normally get out of the USDA as another big jump in world wheat ending stocks. And so we're going to need to have the wheat really come around to an order for us to have, I think, a really significant trend change. It's going to be the key to whether we can go higher in over the course of weeks versus days, if you ask me.
Why, in fact, did wheat move up today? Was there a good fundamental reason?
I really think it was the Russian ruble. It has had a very high correlation with the wheat price action the past couple weeks in particular. And we went from essentially a two-week low in the Russian ruble against the U.S. dollar to a one-month high today. And we did that in the past three trading sessions. And I think this really ignited, along with the corn and bean report reactions, some short covering. We do have some real positive outside market fundamentals. The pump is really primed, if you ask me, for the commodities to start following the stock market higher. And we saw that in the crude. We saw that in the gold making new monthly highs. We've seen that in the U.S. dollar trying to go higher, but then failing late week and actually hitting new monthly lows today, even though President Trump put out some fresh geopolitical news when he changed around how we deal with Iran and their sanctions. That firmed the dollar, but not very much at all. So I think wheat may be starting to pick up on some of these outside market forces because we got good growth numbers from the IMF. We had increased energy usage for 17 and 18 from both OPEC and our own Department of Energy. We had very good PPI numbers here, CPI numbers, consumer sentiment. That number was the highest since January 2004. It seems like we're ticking a lot of boxes for the commodities to feel inflation once again. So I guess I feel like the wheat has the best likelihood of feeling that effect because it is the most pressed down to the downside and has most deflation priced into it.
Hey, can I keep you on crude oil or the outside markets for just a second? Because a couple of winters ago, we know when the price of crude oil really dropped, and of course it went up to what, 112 or 125 or 150 or whatever it was on the top side, but it went back down to about 28 bucks a barrel. That really put pressure to the downside on the marketplace. But when we're at $50, it doesn't seem to me that there should be as much influence on the marketplace. However, has crude oil in your mind found its equilibrium point post the rally to the highs?
Yeah, you know, that's an excellent question. I think two big things that make me feel like that we do have a more balanced supply demand and macro environment is versus 2 years ago, we have a Fed policy change in monetary policy. Other central banks are also changing their policy and not pushing the money and the deflationary bias into the crude oil market like they were back 2 years ago. Our rig counts are down substantially from that time period. That was probably the beginning of slashing rig counts week after week after week, and we were down again this week, and we continue a downward path. Many people now, Todd, are talking about the peak in shale oil production just because of the cost and the supply-demand structure that we have now versus back then when they were running full out in the shale production areas, and they really needed to be cut back quite a bit. I think the last thing is we've really cleaned up our offshore supplies. We see that in the carrying charge or the reduced carrying charge in the crude oil futures markets now. So I think those things really do bring us into a different situation. And it was very, very good news to see both OPEC and Department of Energy increase energy consumption. OPEC and Department of Energy both believe that demand outstrips supply as we get to the second quarter of next year. It's been a while since we've seen that.
A very short amount of time left. Corn and soybeans, wheat, all on better footing than, in your opinion, than they were just a month ago.
They are. Technicals are number one. We need the momentum shift like we've talked about a lot. Number two will be the weather, South American Brazil planting weather, hard red wheat planting weather. We saw a wetter forecast at noontime on the maps for the United States harvest. These things, I think, will help or hinder us breaking higher.
Hey, thanks so much. I appreciate you taking the time with us.
Thank you for having me, Todd. Have a great weekend.
You're welcome. Hey, that's Mike Zuzulo. He's with Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting out of Atchison, Kansas. If you haven't heard yet, today's the day the University of Illinois is kicking off the public portion of a philanthropic campaign. The big event is tonight at the State Farm Center. That's the Assembly Hall. It's free. You can come and see it if you want. If you can't make it, no worries. You can stream it live from the university's homepage starting at 7 o'clock. The page is illinois.edu. Now, there are a lot of events, in fact, happening all around campus today. About the time I finish up here, WILL, in fact, in the College of Media, that's the college the radio station belongs to, will gather to celebrate their past and future. And the College of Vases, the Ag College, will hold a kickoff event as well. It starts at 3 o'clock at the Arboretum on Lincoln Avenue, just south of Kirby. I cannot tell you how much money the campus hopes to raise. I don't know. We'll find that out at 7 o'clock. I do, however, know the goal for the Ag College. It's $200 million. I spoke with the dean about that number. Kim Kidwell says she and the department heads have been working hard to prioritize the many needs of the college as it pertains to meeting its teaching, research, and outreach missions. The college covers economics, engineering, food, nutrition, biogenomics. It's broad. I asked her for some particulars related to the farm sector.
So I would say there's a couple categories that people are really focused on. We have some big infrastructure needs. You know, there's no doubt that we need to replace the feed mill. So that's a huge priority for me, and that's in my portfolio. We have lots of initiatives around creating endowed positions in particular areas where we want to create longevity in. There's some interest in developing extended scholarship programs for students to help support enrollment, especially in majors that we think are hot and expanding so that we can expand access. So I think each department has come up with a list of needs that they really feel are important to them. They're all a little bit different, suited to what they need. Animal sciences is a lot about buildings. Infrastructure for them is really challenging, you know, from the swine facility to the dairy to the feed mill, to just about everything they do. They've got lots of challenges there. I think in crop science, we're looking at a few endowed chairs. We're looking at a really interesting talent development institute that looks at where the talent gaps are as technology increases, and expanding fellowships for graduate students that we're in partnership with industry with. So what people will see is our ability to articulate what we need and what we want has improved, and our partner bandwidth is going to expand as well. So we have folks in industry that we're talking to. We've got some private donors that we're talking to. We're working with some foundations And everybody's excited about what's going on at University of Illinois and the College of ACES. So I think in the moment, as we get more clear about what we want, let people see that, we're hoping that we draw people that believe what we believe so that we can keep this enterprise expanding into the future.
Kim Kidwell is the Dean of the College of Agricultural, Consumer, and Environmental Sciences. The University of Illinois is kicking off today a philanthropic campaign. You can find all the details tonight, frankly, at 7 p.m. on the university's website at illinois.edu. You can stream the event live that will be happening at the State Farm Center. If you can't make it there, that's the Assembly Hall, of course. Please do at 7 o'clock tonight. Otherwise, visit the website and see what the university has in mind for its future. Time now to check the weather forecast. Eric Snodgrass is here from Agrible. Eric, I want to start with the change we've had, at least in the pattern. I think that's what's really taking place. As we make our way into fall, I don't suppose that's all that unusual, but we've gone from, you know, really quite dry to having quite a bit of rainfall around.
Well, Todd, you know what's really gone on here is we've had a pretty big shift from the really, really dry weather we had to start off our harvest season. And we really got off to a real fast and furious start with harvest. I mean, beans got way ahead and we're a little bit behind with corn, but the last week or so has really seen a big transition in the weather patterns. And basically, it's been quite wet. You know, we had this really pesky trough that came through that kind of gave us this multi-day event where it was rather chilly and rather wet. In fact, we just couldn't get rid of that drizzle after that system midweek finally pulled off. You know, there's some positives to take away from this. You know, the first thing is this certainly lowers our threat for those field fires that often happen this time of year. And anybody that's planting wheat, you know, this is going to be a good thing for the getting the soil moisture in there for that wheat crop to get going for winter wheat. But overall, this really slowed us down. And like I said, we're behind on our corn harvesting. We're still ahead on beans, but that was because of all the progress made before this got in here. So in addition to all of this, some of the impacts that the weather has really had over the last week is I've seen a lot of corn, you know, that's of course still in the fields drying down, that has had the top half of the plant knocked off. We've had a few days of very, very windy conditions, and that certainly made the fields look bad. I know they're still harvestable, of course, but it was an interesting thing to see. And I don't think we're done with that wind yet, and this is what I'm seeing. This weekend, we got to keep a close eye on what's going on to our west, okay? So we're going to see a rebound in our temperatures today on Friday. We're going to see an even bigger rebound in temperatures tomorrow, getting back up in the low 80s, simply due to a pretty decently strong south wind. And that's because to our west, we're going to be watching the development of our next low-pressure system. And this low-pressure system is really going to get going on Saturday. So on Saturday, be watching the radar for parts of Kansas, Nebraska, northern Missouri, Iowa. That region's going to get the rain first. But as this system really gets organized, it's going to develop into a pretty decent low that's going to kind of take aim there, kind of on the intersection of Iowa, Illinois, and Wisconsin. That's going to be where the center of the low is. Now, it's going to drag a huge cold front that's going to stretch all the way down to Texas, and to the east of it, along its warm front, a broad shield of precipitation. So during the day on Saturday, the northern half of our state will have to look out for some precipitation. Southern Wisconsin, of course, Iowa, parts of Minnesota, and Wisconsin. That all just means we're going to slow the harvest down yet again in those locations. Now, this is going to drop quite a bit of precipitation, but as that front comes racing through late in the day on Saturday into Saturday night and early Sunday morning, we have to actually be on the lookout for a squall line of thunderstorms. And as that kind of comes through here along that leading edge of that front, we could get some brief gusty winds and some locally heavy rain and some lightning and thunder. But it looks to be an overnight event. This is not going to be a thing that's going to hit Illinois during the day. Now, after that goes through, we're going to see high pressure take control. So for the first couple of days, so think Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, we're going to see the effects of that high pressure sitting over us. So the skies are going to clear out. We're going to have a chance probably early Monday morning for our first frost. We might get pretty darn close to those temperatures. We'll definitely see some mid-30s. Some of the low-lying areas, though, might get down to that first frost, which will be right on time, actually. Remember, October 14th is our average first frost date. But that high pressure system is going to move to the southeast, and that's important to think about next week's weather. We're going to get the benefits of having high pressure, which means it's the chances of rain are very low next week after this system, this weekend system comes through. But if it sites far enough to the south and east, we'll actually see a return of some warmth basically on southerly flow around that clockwise circulation of that high. So that is, you know, that's going to take us back up through the 60s and into the 70s. So, you know, kind of another, what will be nice and warm week. And I'm hoping that's where a lot of folks are going to get into the fields and get work, get a lot of work done. Our next system comes to, it looks like next weekend, but there's a lot of uncertainties in this because the jet stream is kind of all balled up and ready to just kind of unleash a series of troughs that are going to come through. But their timing and the exact position of them has been kind of wavering between model run and model run. But if I just let myself kind of look out long term, I can compare some of the longer range models with some of our analog forecasting techniques. And analogs are basically where we look at the current weather conditions and go back through history to find similar weather conditions, and then use what happened in the past as a guide for what's going to happen in the future. And here's what I'm seeing, okay? By the end of October and the start of November, we may break down this pattern entirely such that we put a ridge in the west, a ridge in the east, and a short trough in the center part of the country. And if that sets up such that we have this trough in the center part of the country, the end of October, beginning of November is going to be cold for us. It's going to be a chilly, end of October, beginning of November. And that also tends to signify a pretty active pattern as well. So we may be having to deal with more frequent passages of these, you know, these low pressure systems, which again will kind of hamper harvest. Now, my certainty on this is not really high at this point. I've got some good clues about what the 15 to 30 day outlook is going to look like, but we need to keep watching this very, very closely. So that to me says that if you can really just haul and get a lot of work done during this drier week that's coming up after this low pressure system moves through this weekend, you know, put in those hours, get it done, because there's some uncertainty moving forward with what the precipitation and temperatures are going to look like. You know, finally, if I just turn my attention quickly to South America, you know, we are still seeing, you know, not the best rains that we could possibly get for the northern growing regions. And certainly La Nina is having an influence on this and is a factor we're going to have to watch all year. But we did see, you know, the reports coming out saying that, you know, Brazil, it's projected to be somewhere in the 107, you know, plus million metric ton range. And that means even with a slight hit on yields, they still have, you know, their second or third, maybe at worst, fourth largest crop. So keep that all in mind as we think about and watch Brazil this winter, you know, our winter, of course, their summer, and what that might do to soybean prices. One thing to definitely pay attention to is that they have had delays in planting, although they're making that up right now. They have had these delays. That, to me, says the safrinha crop may get a late start. So that's usually corn. So we have to maybe see how that affects markets later on this year. So there's quite a bit to be watching right now. But again, over the weekend, be on the lookout for this next low pressure system. Could cause some problems for some folks over the weekend with some strong winds. Definitely see some thunderstorm activity. So it'd be interesting to watch what's going to happen this weekend.
Eric Snodgrass is from Agribull. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. This is Illinois Public Media. Look us up and listen to us anytime you'd like on demand at willag.org.